At Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 3, it's going to come up behind me if you don't want to look in your Bible, but if you prefer to look in your Bible, it's Romans chapter 3, and we're starting at verse 21, and it says, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold it." I pray that God blesses the public reading of his word. Today, I'm going to talk on that passage, and it's not going to be a complicated sermon. I've deliberately made it as simplistic as I can, simply because I believe today it's the simple things that we're lacking of and the complicated things that we keep getting. The simple things of a Christian faith, that all who believe will go to heaven, all that have faith in Jesus will go to heaven. It's through faith and not by anything of our own merit. So first, we need to look at the passage, and it tells us that we are all sinners. Now, I don't think today that anyone today could say that we aren't sinners. A sinner is someone who can't keep the law perfectly. And if you lie, then that makes you a sinner. I'm sure more than once everyone in this room could admit to have told a lie. You might be, well, you might not be, well, I hope not anyway, a murderer is a sinner. Someone who takes the law into their own hands and decides that they're going to take someone else's life, they're also a sinner. That remains obvious. But the law demands that a sinner needs to be put to death for his sins. So how then do we escape and get into heaven for eternal life? Are we all to die? We're all sinners, so therefore we all deserve to die. That's a sad thought, that we all deserve to die, because through Adam, sin came into the world. But the good news is today that Jesus, through one man, we can be made righteous again. And it is by faith that we are made righteous. How then does God do this? How does he justify sinners? Justification is what's used, and it's a truth taught in the passage that we've just learned. Justification is an act which God counts a sinner as absolutely fit for heaven the very moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. The very moment that he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. It doesn't mean that we all of a sudden became perfect. Because sometimes I feel that that's what the world expects. You're a Christian. You should be better, and you should be better. But you're always going to, there's always times when you slip up. The hardest place to live out a Christian life is in your own home. And that's what I've experienced. Because whenever me and my dad have an argument of any kind, or I lose my temper, or he loses his temper, in our home, and you're meant to be a Christian, is the words that he'll say to me, and you're meant to be a Christian, expecting that I'm perfect, and you're meant to be a Christian. There are good and bad examples of Christians in the world. There's great people out there, tremendous people that go out and they do things that are unimaginable. Christians from the past that have led by an example of living out God's word. But there's also Christians today that have let down the faith. They've stumbled and they've fell and they've been caught while they're doing it. In today's media, we never hear of a good Christian who's done this and done this and done this to help people. We only ever hear of the Christians that haven't done right. They've been caught out doing something bad. The media is only interested in catching out faith because they want to put away together. This world wants to live for the now, not for the future. They want to live and everything goes. There is no law. There is no right and wrong. This is the teaching that we get in schools through evolution and all sorts. We just came here. We just happened to get here. So we may as well live out our lives while we're here. Any way we want because it's our life. Is that the right message to send to a world today? Ever since that message has come out, has the world get any better now that they can do what they want, do as they please? I think that we all know if we look at the world today that it's in no better shape. No better shape. We, as Christians, are accepted by God because we believe in Christ. But it is Christ that is accepted because he believed, because he came to the earth and lived an absolutely sinless life, because he came and he served while he was here 33 years, a 3 year of him going round and preaching, but it also people seem to forget that he lived beyond that. We seem to go in the New Testament, we have when he was born, and then we go, we have passages from when he was 12, and a lot of Christians forget that Jesus actually had to live for 30 years before he started his ministry, sinless and perfect. As a practical example, you could say as Christians that we are covered in our robe of righteousness by Christ. Because we are in Christ, God sees Christ and he accepts him. And because we've accepted Christ, he'll accept us. So justification through faith in Christ means that believing sinners are now in perfect standing before God. Now when I think about that, when I think I am in perfect standing before God, it's almost a joke. Because every day in life, I'll always let down God once. At least once every day when I get back into my own house and I sit down and I think, God, what I've done that day. I'm never ever perfect, but Jesus Christ came to make me perfect. So can you say that then, because that God has accepted us, because he's accepted us as we are now, believing in Christ, that he tolerates what we do every day, the sin, the evil? I don't believe that. I believe that he reckons men holy. and that he continues to make us holy throughout our lives until we get to heaven, where the process will end by sanctification. We all need the righteousness of God. In verse 21, we see that he has manifested his truth apart from the law. We'll just read verse 21 again that says, "But now our righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." So basically what this verse is saying, it's saying you have to, the law sees whether you're a sinner or not. If you can keep the law perfectly, then you're not a sinner. But if you break the law, then you are a sinner. And what God has done is he's found a way of people who break the law to be able to cling to something that will make them holy again, that can make them perfect again, through Jesus, through accepting Jesus as their Saviour. So the law, no man has ever kept the law perfectly, apart from our Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God. And he came to the earth and lived a sinless life. Therefore, he shouldn't have died. That's a logical way to look at it. If someone sins, they die. If someone doesn't sin, then they're perfect with the law. They shouldn't deserve death. They don't deserve it. They've done nothing wrong. But because we all sin, Jesus came to the earth and he died. A sinless life died so that sinful life might be saved by accepting him. So the law is basically saying that, Mark Campbell, you must die because you are a sinner. It's saying the law is perfectly clear and God has to see out the law. But what I'm trying to tell you today is that Jesus has made it so that we can live, but we can only live through him. Our priorities sometimes differ. If we say we're a Christian, does that mean that God is always in the top of our list? Now, I've went to GLOW teams in France and Poland and over in Johnson, and I see people that come to church. And church is number one in their life. Not God, church is number one in their life. You need to make that distinction that church isn't God. Church is for God. It's to give praise to God. But church in itself isn't a relationship. It isn't faith. Coming to church isn't going to save you. Some people might think, well, I go to church on a Sunday and that's when I think about God. And they might go to the Bible study during the week and they might think about him then. But then after that, I can do what I want. It's so hard today to look and think objectively because necessarily you're put into a world now today that is giving you these options. You can do whatever you want, however you please. But being a Christian means that you have to live up to God's standards. You need to try your best to live up to God's standards. God's standards are the law. Can we keep the law? No. So Jesus came, a sinless man, and he died on a cross. I just missed out quite a lot of what happened. He came and he died. But before he died, he went through punishment that no other person has ever went through. Absolute brutality. They make films about it now, and I don't even believe that they would show how evil and sickening the death and punishment that they put Jesus on the cross, someone who'd done nothing wrong. The passion of the Christ ends with the death of Jesus. And it's a film that I've never been able to watch myself. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it did come out and it was a graphic version of the crucifixion. But what they seem to, if we leave it at that, if we leave it at Jesus died on the cross, then what is the message? But 3 days later, he rose again and defeated death. He defeated death. He went through his life absolutely sinless, then had this great punishment thrown at him that he took. He didn't take it for himself. He took it for us. So, thinking on this sanctification and justification, how then can God forgive the sinners of the past, because there were people before Jesus? Answer this quite simply, that today, what do? We look back at a Saviour that died on the cross for us and rose again 3 days later and gave us life if we accepted him. Old Testament times were the day-day. They looked forward because they knew someone would come to save them. They knew that someone would come and save them. They looked forward to Christ coming. And that would be how they are saved. Verse 27 I found very interesting. Verse 27, I'll just read it out again for you. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. See, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, that makes sense, because if I could do something to achieve salvation, if I could get saved without just believing in Jesus, if I could do something, if I could pay a certain amount of money, or if I could do hundreds of good works and good things to people, then I could get into heaven. I know that's not right. But just looking at it, if I could do that, then I'd be able to say to Lindsay, I got my salvation today. You get yours yet? Bet you haven't. I'm better than you. I'd be able to boast about what I've done. But see, being a Christian doesn't mean you can boast. It just means that Jesus done it all and you're just accepting it. It's a logical thing to do. It isn't, it's not something that you have done. It's not something that you can do. It's just something that Jesus done. You accepted him by faith, therefore you're going into heaven. You can't really boast about that. Oh, I believe in Jesus. You can't. It's about believing. You want others to believe, because you don't want to see people. I would think, I'd hope, that no one would want to see anyone leave their life without putting their trust in Jesus. So it's a reasonable thing to do. To put your trust in Jesus is the reasonable thing to do, and it's the only thing to do if you want to make sure that your life out of this earth is eternal with God. I love Scotland. Even though all the things that happen in this country and all over the world are horrible. Murder and rape, violence. And I like Scotland quite a lot. I have, when I go on go teams and things, they want to learn about other cultures and kilts and things like that, and different types of tartan, and, you know. But Scotland, I think, is quite good. But heaven, heaven is where I belong. Heaven is my true home. That's where my citizenship is. Scotland will pass away, but heaven's forever. So what I want to ask you today is, do you have a faith in Jesus? Do you have a true and personal belief, and not just, I come here every Sunday, and that's why I'll get into heaven? Nothing we can do can get us into heaven. Do you have that faith? A lot of you might. A lot might think they have, and a lot might just not accept that at all. But I want you to really think today and this afternoon as you go home, because you can think about it here, you can walk out the door, and you can go home and get back into your norm. But I want you to really think, is this faith actually real to you? Does it actually make a difference to who you are? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? That's my question for you today. I want you to think about that. If you don't want to think about it, you don't want to. But that's my thought for you to ponder today. I'm just going to close in prayer now. Finished a wee bit early, but I expected to do so for once. And then we're going to have a song that I've selected earlier. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here this afternoon and read from your word that we have a faith, or we can have a faith in Jesus that will get us into heaven, because no other thing can do it. Through Jesus Christ, all our sins can be forgiven. The only thing we need to do is ask. To ask for forgiveness. And to believe that Jesus came to the earth and died for us so that we might have our sins forgiven. Lord, we know that you know everything, and it is out of our reach as human beings to understand the things of God. But Lord, you are the author of knowledge, and you can redeem what has been done. And we thank you for this, and we pray that as we go home today, that we'll think about these things of faith, of personal faith, and not just going to church, of reading your word and learning more about you. We're not perfect, but through Jesus, we can get into heaven. Thank you that we were here this afternoon, and pray that you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.